comes to the NBA, it is definitely the wild, wild west. It is going to be a fun few months as we get closer to a playoff time. And, of course, that means talking about Timberwolves basketball on a Wolves Wednesday. Cal Soderquist, Timberwolves Radio Network, of course, joins us. And, Cal, a good afternoon and a happy Wolves Wednesday.
Yeah, happy Wolves Wednesday to you and all the listeners and Albert Lee. Everyone hopefully staying warm during this, or at least the cold snap here in the Twin Cities. But we've got a fun matchup that should heat things up tonight at the Target Center.
We'll talk about Golden State coming up on our conversation. I guess it was a couple of nights ago on Monday night, and this is how crazy things are going to be for the rest of the season with a lot of teams in the Western Conference, again, fighting for a playoff positioning where you could go up two or three spots. If you win a game, you'd go down two or three spots. If you lose a game, Timberwolves were in the number five spot going into that game against Sacramento. They lose to the Kings. They fall down to number nine. Cal, I think the last, 20-plus games, wherever we sit with how many games are left, every game's going to feel like a postseason game, which I think is pretty exciting for Timberwolves fans.
I would agree. I think, it makes for some big-time matchups, and players probably, each team looks at those standings to varying degrees in terms of, how often they're checking or wondering what seed they're going to be in tonight or tomorrow. But I know that everyone is paying attention to how jumbled it is just from a bottom line perspective. And I think what that means is every team is playing with some urgency that you maybe wouldn't see, as you go from January to February. We're still probably a couple weeks away from the stretch run. Usually that's once you get back from the All-Star break, that's when teams really kind of ramp up and feel the intensity. But, yeah, some of these games, especially, we've had great crowds at the Target Center so far halfway through this homestand, and I think it's made for, playoff-type atmospheres and matchups, which is a ton of fun for the fans.
Looking at the standings right now, the Timberwolves, they've actually moved up a spot as they head into action tonight against Golden State in the number eight spot at 27-26. And this is how weird things are. The L.A. Clippers have gone on a run. They're up to the number four spot. You got New Orleans, the Pelicans. They've been playing without Zion Williamson. Cal, they've lost nine in a row. They've dropped down to the number 10 spot. That was a team, the Pelicans, you thought were going to run away with a playoff spot, and now they're in a fight to just make the play-in tournament. I mean, it's crazy what's going on in the West.
And that might be what it comes down to over the next month and change as the standings continue to reshuffle all the time. But I believe when the Wolves were in New Orleans this time last week, the Pelicans were a top four seed. And that's where every team wants to be. That obviously keeps you out of the play-in tournament, one, but guarantees you home court advantage in that first-round matchup. That's something that Tim Connelly and Chris Finch have talked a lot about is, hey, let's just get into that top four, give ourselves a good chance to lean on our home crowd in the first round, and then we'll see where the chips fall. And I think it's going to come down to, unfortunately, it's going to come down to which teams get healthy at the right time. But it also will come down to, can you avoid, those losses snowballing? And
yep.
Obviously, a nine-game losing streak is even maybe an exaggerated version, but all it takes is four or five straight setbacks and you're going to tumble out of where you previously thought was good positioning. And even, it's a ton of fun to look at how things kind of change up all the time in that top eight or that top 10. But even you look at seeds 11, 12, and I think the Lakers are 13th right now.
Okay.
They are not at all out of it in terms of what their intentions are and wanting to crack back into the right side of that top 10. So there are going to be teams nipping at your heels, especially Anthony Davis is back with LA right now, and they certainly are going to want to get into the postseason. So there's going to be a lot of desperate teams and teams playing with a ton of urgency. And I think for the Timberwolves, from their perspective, it is really good for them to kind of continue to learn and play in these types of games and build their chemistry as a team in matchups that are going to feel, high intensity like playoff games. And B, just that if you're a fan of the general, NBA landscape, we should get some fun games here, whether you're watching on TNT or ESPN, et cetera. There should be, these games should feel like good matchups.
Wolves Wednesday, Cal Soderquist, Timberwolves Radio Network. And Cal, I want to talk about the two games against Sacramento, two games that definitely had that playoff kind of feel. And we've talked about this before, maybe a little changing of the guard when it comes to the Western Conference. This Sacramento Kings team is fun to watch. Sabonis, their guy in the middle, we haven't seen a lot of him because he was in the Eastern Conference for so long. Now he's over in the West. And De'Aaron Fox, one of the top guards in the NBA. Talk about the two games. Again, a 7-point win on Saturday night. They lose on Monday in overtime. Too many turnovers for the T-Wolves in that game. Your thoughts on the two games against Sacramento, two teams that I think would be fun to see them match up in the postseason.
Yeah, you could look at this entire homestand. You know, when we talk about how crazy the standings have been, the homestand started with the Grizzlies. That's a potential first-round opponent. We could just run back the fun we had over those six games last April. Otherwise, you're right, the Kings or even the Warriors tonight, the Nuggets later this weekend, all potential first-round tilts. But that Kings, you know, the mini two-game series especially kind of felt like a playoff matchup because the Wolves handled business in game one despite, you know, kind of leaving the door open longer than they should have, I think, in those final couple minutes. But then you have to kind of anticipate adjustments and what are the Kings going to do differently. And it's really, really tough to sweep those two-game series. And I think that just kind of speaks to, you know, so all the talent in the NBA and even teams that aren't at the level of the Wolves or the Kings, there's talent in the league where guys are good enough to make adjustments and try to poke and probe different areas to find weaknesses. But I think, you know, in terms of the last Monday, the Wolves certainly, you mentioned the turnovers. I think, too, they will lament a lot of the missed free throws, you know, in a game that was all tied after 48 minutes. And obviously, you hit a couple more of those, you're probably talking about another win. But that's, it's something even, you know, I mentioned they left the door open a little too long late in the fourth quarter on Saturday. And whether it's bad passes, you know, Chris Finch on Monday night made sure to point out a 4-point possession for the Kings where De'Aaron Fox went to the free throw line, hit the first one, missed the second one, but the Kings got that offensive rebound. And then De'Aaron Fox knocked down a three that gave them the lead. So that's a 4-point possession that looms really large. And it's just those little things. Or, you know, in overtime, when the Wolves, I believe, were down three and still had a puncher's chance, but both D'Angelo Russell and Kyle Anderson got their wires crossed, and it resulted in Trey Lyles wide open under the basket for the easiest 2 points he had all night. And that was kind of what sealed the deal. So all those little things add up when you're in clutch time and when you're in overtime, certainly. And I think the Wolves, it's a lesson that they have to learn where as good as you can play for the first, you know, 36, 38, 42, even 44 minutes, everything intensifies in those final 3 to 4 minutes of a game when it's a 1 or 2 possession game. And you just have to be so good. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily come down to making or missing shots. Sometimes it comes down to who takes better care of the basketball or who boxes out and doesn't allow, you know, a second chance, third chance on a possession with the offensive rebound. So those are things that get magnified in clutch time, and I think the Wolves are learning that.
Wolves Wednesday, Cal Soderquist, Timberwolves Radio Network. And Cal, I thought I saw a quick story yesterday. A general manager, Tim Connelly, he was asked about Karl Anthony Towns, and it sounds like he didn't really give any kind of a timetable. Did I read that story correct?
Yeah, there really hasn't been a timetable, you know, from the Wolves internally, especially. I think that 4 to 6 weeks number that was first reported by ESPN, I think there was a mix-up with that, and that must not have come from the Timberwolves. And so the Timberwolves and their medical staff have been really basically cautious this entire way. I listened to some of that Tim Connelly interview yesterday, and he talked about how they sought second opinions. They brought in multiple different, you know, medical experts with these calf injuries and with these soft tissue experts, and they really did their due diligence on the best recovery path for Kat. And it certainly, it makes all the sense in the world to want to think long-term with a guy who's so, so important to your franchise. So, you know, Chris Finch, every time he's been in, he has not really given a timetable. But it does still feel like there's just a general, you know, whether it's Tim Connelly in that interview or Chris Finch kind of hinting, I think everyone still expects Cat to make a return this season. And obviously they would want and hope that that would be not just for the final couple games of the regular season, because then you're dealing with a guy who's still ramping up when you get to the playoffs. So it's an interesting deal. You know, we'll see if we get to the other side of the All-Star break and then we get more of a definitive timeline, or we start to see Cat do some things at practice, you know, get that activity back up. It's probably going to be a long runway, and I'm sure fans are frustrated or itching for more, you know, definitive measured timelines and checkpoints, but it's just something that, you know, that they've done it both with Cat's calf injury and Jordan McLaughlin, who's dealing with a similar calf issue. They're playing it really, really cautious with these guys, and I think they want to make sure once they are back, they're back, and there's not an issue of, you know, this injury lingering or re-aggravating or anything like that. I think they want to make sure that they take care of it right the first time.
Now, Cal, switching subjects to the All-Star game, are the reserves, are they being announced sometime, is it this week?
Yes, we will get those announced tomorrow night. We've obviously got the TNT Thursday doubleheader, and I believe we'll get those reserves in the either in the pregame show of that first game or maybe potentially at halftime. So anywhere from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock.
Anthony Edwards needs to be an All-Star. And sometimes I feel with Ant, and I think we always talk about this in the state of Minnesota, that we're kind of in that flyover country, that the media on the West Coast, the media on the East Coast, a lot of times doesn't recognize the talent we have in the Midwest when it comes to sports teams. And I'm telling you, if Anthony Edwards was on a bigger market team, I think the young man would be highlighted more on a national level. I think the Timberwolves would have more national televised games. I mean, Anthony Edwards is going to be one of those future stars in the NBA. When you talk about a top 10 player in the future in the NBA, heck, maybe a top 5 player, Anthony Edwards is going to be that guy. And I think it would be a shame if he's not able to showcase his stuff at this year's All-Star game.
I think you're right. And I think you bring up some great points on, you know, kind of maybe the flaws of how All-Stars are decided. Certainly, I think that's why agents and players are smart to focus more on all-NBA recognition in terms of like contract bonuses and all that stuff, because the starters are voted on by the fans. So basically, once you reach a certain level, you know, Steph Curry is going to be in there every year. LeBron James is going to be in there every year. But I think with the reserves, which we'll learn about on Thursday, that's determined by the coaches. So you think and hope that the coaches do a better job of keeping track of everything. But I still think you bring up a good point on, you know, A, the fact that the Wolves are kind of in flyover country, or at least a Midwestern, smaller mid-market team. And also, I think, you know, if the Wolves had 3 or 4 more wins, like it probably pains people for me to bring this up, but if you don't lose to the Houston Rockets last week on Monday, and if you split that series with the Detroit Pistons, you know, maybe the Wolves are a top 4 or top 5 seed right now, and it's easier for, you know, for better or worse, oftentimes the winning gets rewarded as much as the, you know, strong individual play in terms of the guys that secure those final couple spots. But I do think, you know, I would be surprised at this point if Ant is not one of those reserves named on Thursday. It is a loaded Western Conference. There are some names like Damian Lillard that should be included, and some guys, regardless of who are left out, someone's going to be, you know, undeservedly snubbed. You know, we always talk about the snubs every year.
Yep.
But I think, you know, what was it, almost 2 weeks ago now, when Ant had the 44-point performance, that was kind of the signature stamp. But really, you look at his last, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 games, basically every night he's flirting with a 30-point game. He's doing it with the other stats, too, in terms of the rebounding and the assists. And his team has needed all of it. You know, as they've kind of gotten more into sort of a winning formula. They're winning more consistently so far in January. They've got one of the best records in the NBA in that month of January. And that's because Ant is doing it all. He's been more of a primary playmaker. He's been one of their very best defenders. They basically turned him loose in the fourth quarter of close games against the opponent's best perimeter player. And he's done a great job with that. So he really has done it all on both ends of the floor. And, you know, he's been, it's been great to hear him kind of deflect and say, you know, multiple times he mentioned he doesn't care about being an all-star. He just wants to make the playoffs. Yeah. And so it's great to hear that. But I think internally too, you know, he wants a little bit of that recognition. And I think you and I have talked about it, but just to get, you know, he's gone to All-Star Weekend and played in that rookie sophomore game. But for him to be there on Sunday and just go through some of the practices and get to hang around with, obviously, all of these Hall of Fame players. You know, we've heard over the years young guys talk about how cool that's been to get to have conversations with a Kobe Bryant or a Kevin Garnett toward the tail end. And, you know, obviously guys like LeBron, and I mentioned Steph. And so for Ant to get to go there and mingle with those guys and then play even just a handful of minutes in that Sunday main event, I think would be really cool and a cool recognition for him.
Our next Timberwolves broadcast is coming up on Friday night when the T-Wolves will play a game 5 of their 6-game homestand. The Orlando Magic in town. Tonight they get Golden State, the Warriors 26-24, the number 5 seed in the Western Conference. The T-Wolves only a half game back of Golden State. And I believe, Cal, if you want to give us a quick preview of tonight's game, Golden State, they are healthy, so we'll see all their stars tonight at Target Center.
I think so. That's, you know, they haven't given us we'll get the next wave of injury reports later this afternoon, basically like 90 minutes before tip-off. And we have seen some late ads before. But, yeah, we will cross our fingers for the fans that are going to be in attendance. We think and hope that all the guys are healthy. You know, that they are playing a back-to-back, but it's the front end of a back-to-back. They're in Denver tomorrow. But either way, even if they're missing one or two of those guys, the Warriors, they seem to have found something that's clicked lately. I think they've won 3 straight and back-to-back on the road. So it's been something really where they might be rounding into form just as all these teams, you know, play with greater urgency, like we mentioned. So either way, the Wolves will have their hands full, and they'll really need to be on top of the game plan and contesting looks and everything up and down the line.
Wolves Wednesday. Cal Soderquist joins us every Wednesday here on Kate Radio. T-Wolves again in the 8th spot, 27-26. But like we've seen the last you know, couple of weeks, you win a game, you can move up a couple of spots. You lose a game, you can definitely drop a few spots as well. Cal, thank you so much for the time. And let's finish off this homestand. 3 more games to go in the homestand. Hopefully we finish it off strong.
You got it. I like it. Sounds good to me, Aaron. Always enjoy our conversations, and we'll talk next week.